Colgate presents a stand.
With a Colgate shave cream sport newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate shave cream man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate shave cream man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate brushless stand.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern speaking from New York City. We're in New York to broadcast tomorrow's Columbia Navy football game. But right now, we're ready to bring you the 361st edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel, featuring strange and fantastic stories, some that are legends, others mere hearsay. But also interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you. Our guest tonight on the eve of the World Series is the most famous manager in baseball, Connie Mack. But before we bring you Connie Mack in person, let's begin with Reel One, Portrait of a Song. Do you hear that song? Do you know what it is? It's a song called Tessie, but behind that song lies a great sports story. The story of how this song has affected the Boston Red Sox whenever they've been in the World Series. And now, once again, a Boston team is in the World Series. And that's why we're telling this story tonight. The story of the Boston Red Sox, the World Series, and a song called Tessie. The story of that song begins back in the year 1903. The Boston Red Sox had just won the American League pennant, and they were getting ready to play in that World Series. But in that World Series, the Boston Red Sox were losing. Losing when someone in the bleachers started to sing the song called Tessie. Immediately, the luck of the Boston Red Sox team began to change. With this song being sung by thousands of fans in the bleachers, Boston suddenly stopped losing, and the Red Sox went on to win the game and the World Series. No one thought that that song, Tessie, was responsible for the Boston Red Sox winning the World Series, and the incident was almost forgotten. However, in 1912, once again, the Boston Red Sox got into another World Series, and once again, Boston started to lose. That is, they started to lose until someone once again remembered this song called Tessie. Once again, the fans in the bleachers started singing this song. And amazingly enough, once again, immediately the Boston Red Sox began to win. And with this song, Tessie, ringing in their ears, they again turned defeat into victory. And once again, they went on to win still another World Series. It seemed incredible. Twice, the Boston Red Sox had been losing a World Series. Losing it until the fans in the bleachers had started to sing a song called Tessie. And yet in each case, as soon as they had started to sing that song, the Boston Red Sox had turned defeat into victory, and they'd gone on to win each one of those World Series. By now, there was no holding the Boston baseball fans. They were convinced that this song would always bring good luck to a Boston baseball team. In fact, they were so sure of this that 2 years later, when the Boston Braves were in last place, somebody suggested that the team might do better if the bleacher fans would start singing Tessie. The next day, this Boston team that was in last place heard that song boom out across the field. Immediately, a change began to take place. For with a song ringing in their ears, this Boston team wrote the most amazing chapter in baseball history by coming from last place to first place to win the pennant and still another World Series. But the story of Tessie wasn't finished. Well, the Boston Red Sox again got into another World Series in 1915, and once again in 1916, and once again in 1918. And each time as the Boston baseball fans sang Tessie, the Boston Red Sox came from behind to win another World Series. And that's the story of a song called Tessie. Six times Boston teams have been in a World Series, and six times this song has been Boston's good luck charm. For since Boston fans first began to sing this song called Tessie, Boston has never lost a World Series. And now once again, the Boston Red Sox are in another World Series. And once again, Tessie will be sung in that Boston ballpark. But the amazing part of this story are the various legends as to how this song ever came to be written in the first place. There are many stories as to how Tessie came to be written, but the one legend that we found the most interesting is the legend that Tessie was Boston's most loyal baseball fan. For Tessie never missed a ball game in 1901 or 1902, and yet despite the fact that she was at every one of those baseball games, she never saw one of them. For Tessie was blind. But even though she was blind, she was the team mascot. For Tessie was a dog, a Boston Bulldog. Profile of one of the legends of Boston's famous baseball song. Portrait of a Diamond. As you know, the World Series starts this coming Sunday. And because of that, our guest tonight is the most famous big league baseball manager in the world, the immortal Connie Mack, manager of the Philadelphia Athletics. And since the famous Connie Mack is our guest tonight, may I tell you a story from his life? Let's call this story The Portrait of a Diamond. Many years ago, a young boy nicknamed Connie Mack needed a job. The only job he could get in the little town of Massachusetts where he lived was a job in the town jail. And so young Connie Mack became the janitor of his town's jail. It was his job to sweep out each morning and to feed the prisoners. One day into this jail was brought a man convicted of murder. However, for some reason, young Connie Mack and the murderer became good friends. On the last day before this murderer was to be executed, he called young Connie Mack to his prison cell.
Kid, you've been kind to me. Extra kind. You're the only one who has. They're gonna hang me tomorrow.
I'm sorry, sir.
Well, Connie, while I'm gone, I haven't much use for anything now. But I've got something you can use. It's a diamond. Take it, son. It's a beautiful diamond. The police don't even know I have it. Someday, if you need money, you can sell this diamond. It won't do me any good anymore.
And so, young Connie Mack became the owner of a valuable diamond. About 3 years later, the youngster decided that baseball was to be his career. But Connie Mack had no money to get to the training camps or to buy the baseball equipment that he needed. And so young Connie Mack decided to sell that diamond that the murderer had given him. Having heard fantastic tales about Diamond Jim Brady and his great love for diamonds, Connie Mack came to New York and looked up the famous Diamond Jim Brady. Brady bought that diamond, giving Connie Mack $2,000 for it. And Connie Mack took that $2,000 that he'd received for the diamond and bought his first interest in a baseball team, a team later to be called the Philadelphia Athletics. The end of this story took place many years later. One day, Connie Mack received a letter. The letter was from one of the most famous women in America, the fabulous beauty Lillian Russell. And that letter began, "Dear Connie Mack, I almost feel I know you because Diamond Jim Brady spoke of you so often. He was so proud that the diamond he bought from you had given you your start in baseball. Mr. Brady gave me that diamond, but he's dead now, and I am an elderly woman. My money is all gone, so I wonder if you'd care to buy back that diamond. It would help me now if you would. Signed, Lillian Russell." Connie Mack bought that diamond back, and being a kind man, Connie Mack decided to do a nice thing with that diamond. He remembered many years before when a man convicted of murder had first given that diamond to him. And so Connie Mack turned that diamond over to his lawyers with the plea that the money raised from the sale of this diamond be used someday to help another man convicted of murder. Connie Mack's lawyers sold that diamond, and they did use this money to free just such a man convicted of murder, a man who was in the Eastern Penitentiary. But here is the strangest part of this story. This man, whom Connie Mack's lawyers freed from jail with the money from Connie Mack's diamond, is a man who formerly played baseball for Connie Mack. His name is Sam Crane. And so a diamond has completed its cycle. Originally, a man convicted of murder gave that diamond to a youngster named Connie Mack. It was next sold to Diamond Jim Brady, then given to Lillian Russell, then back to Connie Mack, and finally to the aid of another man convicted of murder, a man named Sam Crane, who formerly played baseball for Connie Mack. And that's the story of a diamond. A diamond that came from a murderer and was used years later to save another man convicted of murder. Or should I say, that's the story of Connie Mack. And now I'm going to bring the famous Connie Mack to our microphone. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, in person. The most famous baseball manager in America, Connie Mack.
Good evening, Bill. I'd like to add one thing to that story you just told.
Go right ahead, Mr. Mack.
I am glad I was able to help Sam Crane gain his freedom from the Eastern Penitentiary, for I believe he's learned his lesson.
Well, they tell me he was once a fine ball player.
He was. He was a member of my Philadelphia Athletics.
Say, speaking of baseball, Mr. Mack, what did you think of the playoff series between St. Louis and Brooklyn?
I think the better team won, but I admire both teams for their spirit, especially DeRocher.
Mm-hmm. And now, who's going to win the World Series?
I picked the Boston Red Sox.
How come, Mr. Mack?
They are a great team. They figure to have better pitching, and I know they are heavy hitters.
Well, you've had lots of chances to watch the Red Sox when they played your own team. But have you seen St. Louis?
No, Bill. But from what I read about them, it wouldn't surprise me to see them take 2 out of 6 games from Boston, but not the series.
And who's going to be the outstanding player in the series?
After watching Ted Williams hit home runs, I'd say he was.
Well, speaking of great players, since you've seen them all, who would you say were the greatest of all time?
The best infield and stars I ever saw were Lou Gehrig, Honest Wagner, Eddie Collins, and Jimmy Collins.
And how about the outfielders?
Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, and Chris Speaker.
Who would be your all-time choice for pitchers?
Christy Mathewson and Walter Johnson. For catchers, Mickey Cochran and Bill Dickey.
Oh, what a team that'd be. But those men are all from the past. What about the future, Mr. Mack? What are your plans?
They say I'm an old man, Bill. I have only one ambition left, and that is to have one more great team for Philadelphia before I die.
I hope you do. Thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Connie Mack. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. We've been broadcasting tonight from New York City, getting ready to broadcast tomorrow's Columbia Navy football game. Next Friday evening, we'll be back same time, same stations, broadcasting from whichever city has the nation's biggest football game, getting ready to broadcast that game. See you then. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the news of the day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. And now until next Friday night at the very same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate-Chapin man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate-Chapin man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports he rode, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
And that was the Bill Stern Sports Newsreel with special guest Connie Mack. From October 4th, 1946.